It is Dukes and Bell live at the Tour Championship, guys. East Lake, it'll continue on Saturday and Sunday. Don't know who's going to win this tournament. Mike just gave you a leaderboard update, but it's going to be intriguing because it looks like, again, a lot of guys going low. There's a lot of intrigue here, so Sunday should be a lot of fun here at East Lake. With that said, tonight, final preseason game. Thank God. For Atlanta Falcons.
Don't you feel, though, this was the year you wanted that fourth game for the Jack Strand fans?
Of course.
You know, because you could have argued that if this was in the old school format, 16-week schedule, 4-week preseason, that Jack Strand could have started this over Cooper Rush.
I agree.
And if they really felt a certain way about him. Now, we don't know how the team feels. Fans are excited, but as we've tried to temper your enthusiasm, understanding this has happened for years in the NFL and the level of competition he's going up against, you've got to understand that. But that said, he's looked good against that level of competition.
He has.
So I'd love to keep him on the team. I don't want to lose him, but yet still, you just realize, as you and I broke down that 53-man roster, hard to find a spot for the big guy.
It is. And look, that's what you want as a coaching staff, right? You want tough decisions.
Right.
You don't want it so cut and dry where, Mike, you don't have competition at certain positions. Now, what we ultimately want is a franchise quarterback where we don't have to worry about for the next 10 years what that position is going to look like. We just haven't been there. So, but with that said, Tua's going to start tonight. You'll see Cooper Rush. You will see Jack Strand. Don't know how many snaps he will get, guys. But one of the things that we'll be contemplating next week is – once Kevin Stefanski names the starter, and my guess is it'll happen after tonight. What are you waiting on? Like, we got to go another week before you realize. Like, I just don't know unless he feels like Michael Penix has a legitimate chance to start. And that's the only reason. I got to tell you, Falcon fans, if he doesn't say anything here over the next couple of days, 48 hours, right, we get to Monday, and it's still, well, we're practicing, and I need to evaluate. What he's telling us without saying it is he really believes that Michael Penix could still do enough to start week one, and that's fine. But that's the only reason you don't name a starter after preseason game number three. It's the only reason.
Right. I mean, guys, we've tried to read the tea leaves. Again, if you're under 30, look it up. But anyway, we've tried to figure out what's going on and try to get a vibe for this and just what the coaching staff was looking for. Did they really value and take an evaluation from Michael Penix at 7-on-7? Or does it only matter when the rubber hits the road with 11-on-11? Did Tua do enough? Has Tua done enough good things? You just didn't see it, to your point. So we think Tua is a cheap option. That's why they got him. And he was always a really good buffer until Penix is ready. And, I have no idea of knowing. I just, my spidey sense says, not week one, maybe week two for Michael Penix Jr.
All right. And look, this is a wait-and-see proposition for Falcon fans. But the good news is, tonight, we get a chance to see this offense. And, my thing is, if you're going to ask me, Dukes, what are you looking for? I'm looking for them to put a consistent drive together. Let's move the football. Let's go get some points if we can. Specifically, I'm talking about the first team. I don't care about the third team. We saw that already in the second preseason game. I want to see it from the starting group. Defensively, Mike, if starters are playing, hey, let's get out there, get a stop. Hey, it'd be great to get a turnover. But at the end of the day, I want to see some cohesiveness here with the first units and then get them off the field. Because I don't want anybody injured heading into week one.
Well, that's just it. I mean, but we do want to see Juwan Taylor look like he belongs, right?
Yes.
I mean, this guy played in the biggest games in the NFL, played in Super Bowls, played in AFC Championships with the Chiefs, kind of lost his way a little bit. We were a little surprised by that cleanup procedure on his knee we were not aware of.
No, we weren't.
But is Juwan Taylor looking good? And by the way, in the second half, what does the backups look like? Because are they going to have to go maybe find somebody off of someone's cuts on August 30th to maybe shore up our depth on the O-line?
It's a good question. And that's why there will be some real evaluating going on. I know you guys are like, oh, third preseason game, it doesn't matter. Well, when you're playing your starters, it does. And so when Stefanski told us, you know, hey, here's my plan, and I thought his soundbite earlier, Mike, we played it where he talked about four preseason games and what the philosophy used to be, right? Starters would play 10 snaps in the first game. Second game you didn't play. Third game you played a half. Like, he laid out how most coaches around the league looked at four games. Now with three games, there's less evaluation. And I know as fans, we don't want four or five preseason games.
Right.
But I got to tell you, from a coach's standpoint, if you talk to some of these old heads around the NFL, they will tell you that gave them enough time to evaluate their depth situation, where you could really look at a player. And now, Mike, it's condensed. So you better know, right? If you're going to make that roster move, you better know, and that's what's missing.
That's why we got so much about the Jack Strand conversation is we're excited. I think there's a major potential there because guys love the size and the athleticism. And the immediate, I guess the comp immediately becomes, I guess, what you saw with Josh Allen in Buffalo, right? That's why people like him. But is there enough there to, as you said, an extra lineman, defensive tackle, corner,
more
special
important.
Teams? Remember, important. Guys, you take double your starters, that's 44 guys. You get to 53, there's not a lot of room. And does that mean, is Cooper Rush the odd man out? Would they actually put a guy like Jack Strand at third-string quarterback to start the season? That's why I just think he goes in the practice squad. You hold your fingers crossed he doesn't get picked by somebody else.
Yeah.
Because if somebody takes him in the regular season, guys, if you don't hear us talk about it, you're going to be activated onto another roster, and we lose him, and he's gone. That's the risk.
Is running the football and protecting your quarterback more important than carrying a third quarterback?
Yes.
Yes. That's the answer. This is simple math, guys. I mean, like, if you're sitting there and you're going, hey, coach, what if we have one of these guys go down? Well, we got Jack over there.
Right.
That's not helping us. So you've got to shore up your depth from an offensive and defensive line perspective. I've talked about the DBs. We'll see how that plays out tonight. I'm curious what that rotation is going to look like, and I know Mike and Bo will be talking about that in the pregame show. But I think there's some areas that we need to focus in on. And then as we get to next week, Mike, we got 2 weeks until the opener, right? Basically September 13th. And you got a couple of weeks to figure out, hey, what this is going to look like. My thing is, I don't want to come out flat, and I don't want to come out with any excuses for the quarterback. Whoever it is, let's get behind it and ride it for week one, two, three, whatever it is. That's where I've been with Tua. Give him if they're going to start him, I got to give him a shot. Well, I don't want to go into week one and go, right, well, I want to lose because it's
no,
Tua.
No, we're going to Pittsburgh. Guys, the Steelers' offense is crap. I'm sorry. We've talked about this. I know everyone's scared about, you know, T.J. Watt and you know, Cam, you know, all these guys they've got. You know, it's an Ironheads kid. It's just
Cam Hayward.
But still, you guys, it's still the Steelers. Did you watch the playoff game last year against Houston?
They got destroyed.
They couldn't do anything. Aaron Rodgers is literally a sleeper sofa. There's no mobility there. So if we can get anything from you and I have used the phrase money ball in our pass rush. But still, we're trying to find 25 sacks. We lost 25 sacks. We're not going to see our number one pass rusher, James Pierce Jr., till what, Madrid? Unfortunately, Jalen Walker's out for the season, and Floyd gave us 5 sacks. He's not on the roster. So I love Za'Darius Smith coming over, bringing his infectious energy. That'd be a hell of a story if he could crank it up. But I'm not. You can't depend on that.
No, you can't.
So, and Caden Ellis, who nobody respects. Caden Ellis is like electricity. No one thinks about him till he's gone. Caden Ellis is not here, Carl.
No.
Can Divine Diablo do the job on the positive side? I love Kendall Daniels. I'm not sure how Bo and Mike coming up at 5 feel about him. I've loved his camp. We love the infectious energy when we spoke with him.
Sure.
Kendall Daniels, they got to find a way. I think Ober's got to find a way, who knows linebackers, to get him on the field.
Yeah, look, I think, Mike, bold and fearless. Divine Diablo will be better than Caden Ellis. At the end of the season, guys, he had 70 tackles last year in 5 less games. Because he missed those games. We also went on a 5-game losing streak without him on the field. Divine Diablo will be better than Caden Ellis. Why? Speed and length. If he stays healthy, he will lead this team in tackles.
Right.
My question is who's sitting next to him.
Correct.
That's is it Kendall? Is it Harris? I've questioned this linebacking core as a group, but we're going to see. And tonight, maybe you find out a little bit more about that. Stay tuned. The game is coming up. Pre-game at 5. Kicks at 7, guys. And Mike Conte's on the call tonight, by the way, for this preseason game. So he'll be with Art, should I say, tonight. So stay tuned for that. But Monday, man, I can't wait to come back and really start focusing in on,
right,
this is our roster. Let's stop complaining about who's not here or who's here.
Right.
And what is this going to get us? Where are we going with this? It's sort of like the Braves after the trade deadline. This is our team. Are we good enough to get there? Right now, it feels like the Braves are good enough to get there. How are you going to feel after we cut and decide our 53-man roster? Stay tuned. Preseason game number 3 is on the way. Let's get out of here and clear our throat. Thanks to Bryant McFadden. Also, our man today who stopped by, Chad Bishop from the AJC to talk Braves.
I like this take, man.
I did too.
By the way, now I was going to do this for Clear My Throat, but since you mentioned Chad Bishop, Spencer Schwellenbach having elbow surgery, Hurston Waldrop will have Tommy John surgery.
Oh, that's
so
tough.
So whatever you guys are projecting for your 2027 starting rotation.
Tough.
But that's not just the Braves, but they do seem snake bit when it comes to their starting pitching and the guys that come up through the system.
No doubt. All right, man. Braves in action against the Rockies over the weekend. We're keeping tabs on that. Obviously, here at the Tour Championship, we'll be talking plenty about that on Monday. And we head towards the regular season in the NFL. Make sure you're there at 2 o'clock. Stay tuned. Bo and Mike have you covered. Hey, Commissioner Gordon, on-site engineer, always great to have you back at the studio, Big O. And, of course, Day-Day, our executive producer, who's out here with us today at the Tour Championship. Thanks to all the wonderful folks out here at the Tour as well, man.
Hey, man, great time. What an amazing event. If you're coming out on Saturday and Sunday, make sure you swing by the Mick Ultra tent. And it's the club scene here is a vibe. It really is off the 17th fairway. Who's going to win this?
What's going on with Scotty Scheffler?
You're not going for the young guy off the Corn Ferry Tour stuff?
I'll be honest with you guys. I did not have anything on Scotty prior to yesterday. He finished 5-under. I said he's going to win it. Today, he's in the hunt. And once he takes the lead, he's like Tiger. Forget about it. That's my guess.
You know what?
We will see.
He might look like a geek. I'm going with Ashke Bakcha.
He's putting unbelievable today. All right, man. Mike, happy birthday to you. Enjoy
Thanks,
the weekend.
Brother. Go Noles.
Go, yeah. Sorry about that. Hey, but
clear by the way, don't bet the 31.5. They don't cover
it. I'm not touching it. Yeah. Hey, man, Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Hey, man, we talked about this earlier. Good golf. No, it's not everybody's cup of tea, but we're trying to make golf fun and cool and hip. And again, if you're a part of the Barstool generation, you're a guy 18 to 49, you kind of get a kick out of the shirts. I've got a few of their shirts. And unfortunately, they had a fun ad. But with a woman getting pushed on the ground. She's laughing while she gets pushed on the ground, but it was about a golf club. And if you play golf and you really love your driver, you get the joke. But no one gets the joke. And Callaway completely crapped their pants. Not shame on good golf. Shame on Callaway. Shame on Callaway for abandoning these guys that they decided to get in bed with because they knew what this was about. And then, oh my goodness, it blows up and people don't even have any reference point to what this is about or any context. Say, let's cancel these people. These guys worked hard to establish their brand. They hustled, they worked their butts off. And now they've lost a major market share and Callaway let them twist in the wind. Shame on you, Callaway.
Can I tell you guys a secret? All these professional athletes are really talented. But you know what makes them different? Chris Sale's attitude last night. Mm. It's what I want to see from all of our professional athletes in this city. Let's grind. Let's push. And even when you go, well, you know, I might not be ready. Go do it. Chris Sale set an example last night because he could have easily said, no, Skip, I'm good. But instead he went in there and said, Walt Weiss, I got this. And then went out and finished a complete game. It's attitude. Right it's on. Not ability. Hey, if you love the show.
You tell your friends.
If you don't.
You're not ready after 3-11 on 11s either.